The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, now in its 27th year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Do you have cravings for certain foods? Most of you do. Well, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I crave what my body needs. I know what my body knows what it needs because I naturally crave it. Well, seldom that's the case, actually. Sometimes caused by specific nutritional deficiencies, the body's way of telling you about the problem, but mostly they're purely psychological, driven by either stress or boredom. And normally the craved foods, unfortunately, are the ones high in fat and sugar, or both, which trigger a rush of those pleasurable chemicals, the dopamine and the serotonin. And, you know, when they get eaten, the brain gets satisfied, right? And that's why we have those feelings that we crave rather than an actual hunger or craving for that actual food. It's what that food does to your body and your mind. Good morning and welcome to the healthiest 2 hours on radio. It's the Snowman with you. David Snow, keeping you cool and healthy as we do it each and every week at this time here on the program. And we thank you so very much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend, which we do hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. A little change in programming, just a bit, a slight change in our program schedule. This was going to be Dieting Part 2 in this segment of the program, but it'll be abbreviated. We'll still have lots of diet tips for you, and of course we have those throughout the year, 24/7, or I should say 52, since our show is weekly, not daily. Have some important information there, but also much more important information because of the cold and flu epidemic we're now experiencing. And we're going to have Dr. Mark Kaler on. He's going to be joining us in the second half of this hour's program, talking about some of the ways to naturally treat and prevent colds and flu and other viruses and bacterial infections that you may encounter or be exposed to. So, all right, that's the roster or the schedule or itinerary for this hour. Next hour, I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. Actually, I'll tell you about it right now. We'll talk to Bryant Johnson about fitness. He's a personal fitness trainer. He's actually the fitness trainer of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is 84 years old. She'll be 85 soon. He's her longtime personal trainer, and he'll talk about his new book, The RBG Workout, How She Stays Strong and You Can Too. And that's she is Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He also trains numerous federal court justices and judges and attorneys and high-profile people in Washington, D.C. Bryant is a member of the U.S. Army, has been for 30 years, and for 12 of those years he was a member of the Special Forces Airborne Division or unit. So we'll hear from him in just a matter of minutes, next hour, about 60 minutes, and that'll be in next hour's program. So fitness on the roster in the next hour of Dr. Health Radio. All right, let's see. You know, speaking of diets, I recently had to go on two diets. Well, one, I would have starved to death on just one. I mean, you know. Isn't that how a lot of you do it? I'll go on this diet, and simultaneously you go on another diet and another, and just consume too many calories and not enough, you don't burn enough of the calories. But elsewhere in the news of diet and nutrition. Do you ever wonder why your stomach rumbles when you're hungry? Now, of course, that is a signal, right? After eating, your stomach muscles contract and they push through food through your intestines. That's one of their jobs. And with an empty stomach, though, it still happens. So it's happening all the time, but with nothing to dampen the sound, the food acts as a buffer. So you hear the growls. Your stomach's growling even when you're not hungry, but when you're hungry, yeah, that's really when it's apparent and when you can both feel it and sometimes hear it. All right, tomorrow is National Hug Day. That's a healthy activity to engage in. So hug somebody, maybe somebody you haven't hugged before. Well, get their permission, of course, first. And so it's National Hug Day. That's a good excuse to hug a few more people. Oh, here's a funny cartoon I came across. There's two researchers. One's talking to the other. He says, "I've applied for a research grant to discover new ways to get funding." Isn't that the case? I mean, it reminds me of politicians. You know, they're always looking to raise more campaign contributions or campaign funds. And same with researchers. You know, in fact, I come across so many, and I report on a lot of them here on the show, come across so many research studies. And inevitably, at the end of the study, that you read it all the way to the end, and then at the end they say, "But more research is needed." Of course, you know, they're perpetuating their industry. "I've applied for a research grant to discover new ways to get funding." I love that. All right. Let's see. Where else are we going? Okay. I told you about Brian Johnson, next hour's guest. Oh, next week's guest is Dr. Karen Jensen. She's the author of the new book, Three Brains, How the Heart, Brain, and Gut Influence Mental Health and Identity. And this is going to be really eye-opening information. She has a lot of facts and figures, and you're going to be surprised at the fact that you have three brains, not just one. You know, you think you have one up above the neck, but your heart and your gut. I think they've discovered, 40,000 neurons in the heart and something like 10 million in your gut, 10 million neurons. So we'll talk about that in the first hour of next week's show. And then the second hour of next week's program, Steve Fraley, our resident guest expert on botanical medicine, joins us with those benefits and how OTCs and prescription drugs like opioids obviously are not always the way to treat chronic pain. Sometimes you can just have to do what comes naturally or take what comes naturally or take from nature, that is. And he'll talk about that and some of the research that has been done comparing actually some of the prescription or over-the-counter remedies with natural botanical medicines, especially those here in the islands. All right, straight ahead in the news. Even though there may be health benefits from these, why you should go easy on the chocolate, coffee, and wine. Plus, how could a high-fat diet add years to your life? Some compelling evidence to that fact. Then, the surprising history of Coca-Cola. Details to these stories and more coming up on the Health Hotline News as Dr. Health Radio continues.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call 911 when they're experiencing uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
experiencing any foot pain? You know you can't feel good and be happy and healthy if your feet are killing you. So don't put off your foot pain another day. Whether it's from ill-fitting shoes, your occupation, or a pre-existing condition, foot pain is your body telling you you need to do something, like stepping up and stepping into Step Ahead. Step Ahead has the arch supports, orthotically designed shoes, and most of all, the expertise you need to become pain-free again. Step Ahead's certified staff of professionals will give you a free foot analysis so you'll know exactly what you need to keep your feet happy and healthy. So whether you wear snazzy shoes with a high heel or construction shoes made with steel, Step Ahead's orthotic arch supports are customized to your particular foot to eliminate pain, strengthen your feet, and prevent future problems from occurring. Two locations to serve you. Step Ahead in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center in Aiea and in Honolulu at 725 Kapi'olani Boulevard in the Imperial Plaza. Phone 488-3338 or go to stepaheadhi.com. Step Ahead, Hawaii's arch support store.
For current health news from around the world, Hawaii depends on the HLTH Health News Network. Time now for the Health Hotline News.
All right, let's talk about brain health, why you should go easy on that wine, caffeine, and chocolate, or coffee and chocolate. You know, the popular thinking is that all those have health benefits, but it's the risk-benefit ratio, right, the amount of each. And how much, you know, does one outweigh the other? There's red wine and, of course, dark chocolate, 70% or higher cacao content, and then caffeine-rich drinks might help your brain stay sharp, right? Well, a new study from the Global Council on Brain Health has found little evidence of such links. They say the beneficial effects of wine, well, if you drink alcohol, only do it with meals, because it's unclear if there's any beneficial level of consumption for brain health. This is just in regards to brain health. When it comes to tea and coffee, there are some protective benefits to the antioxidants in the tea and coffee, but the short-term effects of caffeine consumption have been shown to increase alertness. Well, that's true, of course, but there's no consensus on whether the impact of tea and coffee is clearly beneficial or harmful for brain health. And then what about dark chocolate? Well, some research shows that high consumption of cacao flavanols, the flavanol compounds in cocoa, can cut memory loss. The amount of chocolate you would need to eat to positively impact the brain could be canceled out by the number of calories and sugar you consume. You know, because most people don't like the 100% cacao or even 90%. They'll go for the 50%, and actually 70% or higher is what you need. And so the higher the content of cacao, the less sugar, but then also the more bitter and the less sweet it is. And most people don't like their chocolate that bitter. They like the sweet, creamy chocolate, and that's Americans' taste. The council concluded that a plant-based diet rich in green leafy vegetables, which we talk a lot about, which none of you consume enough of, and berries consume to better or contribute rather to better brain health, while a diet high in red meat, saturated fats, sugar, and salt can harm your brain health. So it's just as much what you avoid as what you engage in or do and consume. They say that mounting evidence, though, here's the kicker. As far as one nutrient to take for your brain to protect it, they say there's more and more evidence that the omega-3 fatty acids found in fish or algae, just getting more omega-3s in your diet, protect against neurodegenerative disorders such as, well, we talk a lot about them. All right, this is interesting. If you're thinking that you're able to handle a big freeze, let's put your bravado to the test. Here's a study from the Public Library of Science. They found that routinely blasting yourself with cold water in the shower, you know, I've done this many times, and it really invigorates you and wakes you up. But it also, and if you just do this for a few seconds, doesn't have to be for extended periods of time, but it leads to a 29% reduction in sick days. So take a deep breath and get under that cold shower. All right, and speaking of temperature, this is these are some other interesting facts and figures. Hit the steam room if you want to To enhance your stress from, or excuse me, reduce oxidative stress and also improve your recovery and boost your muscle strength. This is from the Journal of Applied Physiology. That's, you know, after a workout, hitting the steam room is a good idea. And then what do you think is the ideal temperature, the exact ideal temperature for concentration? This really surprised me. Let's see if it surprises you. 67 degrees to set your thermostat at. And you'll breeze through those to-do lists and anything else you have on your desk. That's according to research at the University of Virginia. Well, that's, of course, at Virginia, they're 10 degrees cooler than us on average, probably, or if not more. And then, for marathon running times, if you want to get your PR, they say 42 degrees is the optimal running. Let's see, wait, 42 or is it 50? They say anything above 10 degrees centigrade, so what's that, 50 degrees or 42, causes a dramatic drop in pace, according to U.S. Army research. And, you know, I got to say that although I don't know if it was 42, I think it was around 50. I had my best marathon time when I ran the Mayor's Midnight Marathon in Anchorage, Alaska. Because I was, you know, for half the race, the first 13 miles, hell, I was just trying to warm up and practically sprinting just to not shiver. So, all right. Okay, that's it for that. And then one final article in the news, a high-fat diet could add 10 years to your life. What? Switching from carbs to more fats in your diet could add up to 10 years to your life. Well, this is based on animal studies, so we'll, you know, the jury's still out. But a high-fat ketogenic diet, we had Dr. Lori Steelsmith on recently about this, as it's known, seems to influence aging, and it can cause a 13% increase in the average lifespan, at least when it comes to mice. But that translates to about 7 to 10 additional years for humans. Quality of life also improved, physical strength and memory, etc. And besides helping people lose weight, it also seemed to slow the aging process in the same way that fasting and low-calorie diets do. This is research from UC Davis. And the mice were given a ketogenic diet, 13% increase in lifespan. Yeah, I talked about that. Okay. The mice, they say, maintain memory, motor function, and muscle strength into old age. And the usual inflammatory markers of aging were also absent. You know, and that's what is so prevalent in people who eat a high carbohydrate or high sugar diet is the inflammatory markers in the system. So high fat diet, as long as it's the right fats, you want the friendly fats, not the Franken fats. All right, back after this. Well, that's some dietary advice. We have more coming up after this, and also coming right up, we'll have Dr. Mark Kaler talking about colds and flu, how to improve your resistance against any bacterial or viral infections. Stick around if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
When it comes to probiotics, why do employees, managers, and owners of health stores recommend and personally take Theralac more than any other brand? Results. Fast results. In fact, Theralac is the fastest-acting medicinal strength probiotic. With patented stomach acid-resistant delivery, prebiotic stimulation, and guaranteed potency, Theralac restores regularity fast while providing all the long-term benefits of a superior probiotic supplement. Don't be fooled by probiotic products that promise higher potencies or more strains of beneficial bacteria. High potency means nothing without delivery, and more strains are not necessarily better. Theralac is optimally formulated for results. Theralac, the high-potency probiotic with guaranteed strength, delivery, and stimulation, supporting your digestion, regularity, and immunity. Theralac, available in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store. For more information, go to Theralac.com.
Copycats? They're out there. Be strong and healthy. Tune in to the big dog. Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine.
Welcome back to the program. David Snow on your radio. Thanks so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend. You know, we give you diet tips all year long. We have our diet department in the Health Hotline News every week, or as a regular feature. And but this time we're emphasizing it a little more broadly and more, well, in a concentrated way in the first month of the year, because we want to get you on the right track for all of 2018. So why is exercise important in obesity? Well, exercise improves your skeletal muscle sensitivity, as well as reducing stress, and it reduces cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and that puts on fat, especially in your midsection. And it also helps prevent sugar from turning into fat. And, you know, some talk is made of the fructosification of America. Yeah, that's what they call it, because we consume so much fructose. In fact, Dr. Robert Lustig has some choice words on this. He's probably researched sugar more than any other doctor, and has books out on it. And we're going to have a researcher, a different researcher, who has the newest book out on sugar. His name escapes me right now, but we'll have him on either next month or in March for National Nutrition Month. But I think we're going to get him on next month for American Heart Month, talking about the evils of sugar. It really is probably the single best thing you can do to improve your health and diet, and that is eliminating or reducing sugar by a substantial amount, especially fructose, the refined fructose. Here's some facts and figures that you might be interested in. Today, we weigh 25 pounds more today than we did 25 years ago, if you can believe that. We have an epidemic of obese six-month-olds. I didn't say six-year or 60-year-olds, six-month-olds. So, you know, part of our problem is not just a matter of diet, it's how we raise our kids. And men eat 187 calories more per day than they did 20 years ago. Women, 335 calories more per day they consume now than they did 20 years ago. And we're all eating more carbohydrates, let's face that. No sweet surprise there. There's a 41% increase, or has been, in soft drinks, and a 35% increase in fruit-sweetened drinks, or sweetened fruit drinks, which is not a good thing either. You know, whenever I tell people they should eat, whenever I recommend fruit juices or vegetable juices for that matter, I always tell them to dilute it 50% with water and then sip it. You don't slurp it. The same with smoothies. You don't slurp a smoothie, you sip it. All right? Okay, we'll have much more information. I'll save this for future shows, and as well as more information a little later this hour. Okay, we'll have Dr. Mark Kaler on talking about how you can avoid or at least minimize your chances for coming down with a cold or flu, and some of the remedies if you're already sick and already have a runny nose or flu or cold virus, some of the things you can do that may be more safe and more effective than what you're doing right now. So stick around if you want to stay healthy. We're back right after this with more information for your good health. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio.
Hi there, health fans. Dick Allgaier here. Stifling a sneeze. Now they say that can have serious health consequences. Why you shouldn't do it. A city activates its emergency alert system, no, not Honolulu, this is one in Japan, over packages of fish. Why did they do that? And why acting silly is actually good for your health. All of this coming up in my health report in the next hour of the Dr. Health Show.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just two capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals six capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance to your supplement regimen today by adding xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
AM 690, The Answer, KHNR, Honolulu. A service of Salem Communications. On the NASDAQ at SALM. AM 690, The Answer.
Snow.
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 Hey, it is David Snow on your radio. Our information is 82% new, 18% review, and it's all good for you. And here to review some very valuable information is a guest who hasn't been with us for a while, but it's time to have him back. Dr. Mark Kaler is with us. He's the author of numerous books and periodicals on health and wellness, has had decades of experience in seeing patients. He's not a medical doctor, but he is a consultant, has degrees in nutrition and other areas of health, and has been spending, he has dedicated his life and career to helping people stay well. And we're going to talk to him about how we can stay well and avoid symptoms, as well as actually catching any viruses, mainly the cold and flus, or actually colds and flu virus. You know, when you talk about flu viruses, you always talk about it as a flu virus, not flus. And that's influenza, of course, is what flu stands for. But anyway, we want to welcome him once again to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Mark Kaler. How the health are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be back, but I must admit that I would prefer to be doing this in person in Hawaii right now.
Well, we insist on an in-studio interview next time you come, next time our paths meet, and we want to have you make a path to the islands, the Hawaiian islands. We want to talk in just a second about flu in Hawaii, as well as other infections as they are so prevalent. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently declared, our entire country with a flu epidemic, and they said 49 states, but now it's hitting Hawaii hard as well, and so we'll talk about that. But first of all, the most important question of the hour, why did the surfer go to the hair salon?
Yeah, it's been a long time since I surfed, well, I'm going to have to bow to your greater expertise on this one.
Okay. She wanted a permanent wave. And we want a permanent wave of wellness, and that's why we want the information you're going to share with us today, because we don't want to ride the wave of sickness. And, a lot of people are on the winter infection wave, and we definitely don't want to go there. That's one wave we don't want to catch. We want to catch the wave of good health. But anyway, let's talk first of all locally about flu in Hawaii, and then we'll talk about it in more general terms. Any thoughts on that in the islands? Of course, a lot of the tourists, we like to blame them for bringing the virus with them over to wherever they're coming from, over to our islands. But what's your take on this?
I think that's completely justified. It's interesting. Hawaii stands out as far as the colds and flus goes, I think, in two regards, one specific to this year. One is, as you mentioned, Hawaii doesn't really have a cold and flu season. They're year-round cold and flu season, and it's exactly because of what you said. You got a lot of tourists coming in there. So mm-hmm. if they're coming from, in the middle of winter, for us, it's summer someplace else, but then vice versa. So you've always got someone coming from winter coming to Hawaii. It's naturally going to attract them. So you're bringing the bug in. The other thing that is interesting is, at least up to this point, Hawaii is the only state, according to the CDC, that's not recognized as having the flu currently widespread, although the predictions and the numbers seem to suggest that it's on the rise, and they're actually predicting this status is actually going to change probably in the foreseeable future. And Oahu and Maui, I read some of the CDC reports, mm-hmm. are having the highest numbers. So it hasn't hit you quite as bad as some of the other parts of the country, but it certainly seems to be coming your way. And this is a nasty flu going around this year. So you know, this is a the opportunity to walk the path of prevention, without a doubt.
And I might add that, and I reported on this last week, is that the flu vaccine can be as little as 10% effective this year. It's, you know, some estimates say anywhere from 10 to 40 or 10 to 20. But things like taking vitamin D and exercising and all, you know, a lot of lifestyle changes or improvements, they can result in a much higher resistance to the flu than the vaccinations. And so while I'm not, you know, we're not here to bash vaccinations or talk against them necessarily, a lot of people have a false sense of security because they were vaccinated, and the H3N2 variety, or the strain of the virus, which is hitting people real hard this year, unfortunately, that's not part of the protection they're going to get from that if they get the vaccination.
Comment on that 10% number that you threw out there, and it's interesting because, you know, you then amended it to say maybe 30 or 40. It's interesting because so far the statistics have actually shown it only to be 10% effective.
Mm.
Where the 30% number and things come from is the fact that they are predicting that in the end it will be about 30% effective. So I'm not sure how they decide that. But right now, according to the stats from the CDC and things, it's only showing about a 10% effectiveness rate. So, but hop on board the natural train here for health and healing.
Right, right. And speaking of that, a lot of people reach for OTC products. They go to the local pharmacy or get a prescription from the doctor for an antibiotic or something that's not really going to help. And then other people, you know, just go for treating the symptoms. First of all, kind of the question right out of the box is, why should people seek out natural remedies for cold and flu symptoms when there are more than enough of these over-the-counter preparations as well as prescriptions that can address any complaint once you might have a viral or bacterial infection?
Yeah, you know, great question. You know, I think it comes down to kind of two things. You know, what approach do you want to take, and what is your goal? If all you're trying to do is suppress symptoms and not necessarily get healthy and actually heal and come out even better, then, you know, go grab the OTCs. They're going to do nothing about health and healing. All they're going to do really is suppress the symptoms in this regard. So once you get sick, Western medicine just works symptomatically with you. I don't like a symptomatic approach. I honestly believe that as we suppress these symptoms, they tend to manifest later on, often in stronger and stronger forms. And I think in this area, this is one area that alternative or holistic medicine really excels at. You know, it's working with the body, it's maximizing immunity, it's maximizing the digestive tract, it's working with the body on its health and healing processes. So, you know, there are so many things you can do to support it holistically, you know, not just targeting that virus or that bacterial infection or whatever it may be. And it's the one that I think yields the best results in the short term and certainly the healthiest results in the long term.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people take the shotgun approach, as do doctors, and not to place any blame on anybody. But, you know, of course, everybody wants the symptoms to subside immediately. But instead of overall wellness, such as exercising and getting enough sleep so that you'll have a stronger immune system against anything you might encounter, you know, thinking your mental health and just overall wellness, lifestyle, you know, healthy habits to cultivate. They want, you know, that specific pill or specific modality or treatment to get rid of what they might have. And that, I think that's the problem, is that people see it as, you know, like I was talking to somebody recently and they said, well, hopefully, what was he saying? Oh, yeah. He said, you know, if the pharmaceutical companies would spend the billions they spend on these new drugs for sleep as an Ambien improvement or replacement, or, you know, this drug will treat these symptoms of a particular complaint, maybe something that's caused by bad living or the wrong lifestyle. If they would just put that money into the cure for cancer, we could finally find a cure for cancer. And I told him, I said, look, there's over 100 different kinds of cancer. There's many, many kinds of cures, or many different cures and treatments. And so it's not one size fits all. You really have to address it on a case by case basis, or disease by disease basis, if you will. And if you could speak to that, give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Cancer is a good example. I think Alzheimer's and dementia is another good example of that. I don't think there's ever going to be a cure for cancer or a cure for Alzheimer's.
Yeah, right.
Are there things we can do that can significantly impact it with conventional medicine and alternative medicine? By all means, absolutely. I've seen amazing things happen in people's lives, even people who have been given a death sentence. So there is certainly a lot we can do. With cancer in particular, we have to keep in mind, you know, you made the one good point, is that there are lots of different strains of cancer. Someone says they have breast cancer, you know, and they're asking me for help. What can I do nutritionally and alternatively? My first question is, well, what type of breast cancer do you have? And nine times out of 10, they have no idea. You mean there's different types? Yeah, hormonal, non-hormonal. I mean, there's a number of nuances and things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think that's special about cancer is that cancer is dynamic. It actually kind of is resilient. So, you know, it's like, you know, if you spray bug spray all the time, it's going to kill all the roaches for a while, but eventually you're going to have roaches that are bred to deal with whatever that bug spray is. And cancer, like viruses to some degree even, they can develop a certain resilience. They have ways of hiding from the immune system.
Right.
So it's a much more dynamic process going on. It's not just that there's, you know, this one little patch of cells, you know, let's go in and cut it out or bomb it, and, you know, we've solved the problem.
Right. Okay, so having said that, Mark, and both you and I contributing to that discussion, as someone who has had decades of experience and knowledge of, in both traditional and alternative medicine, which are some of the most effective natural remedies that you would suggest to our audience, you know, that are both safe and effective, as you were mentioning earlier, sometimes even more effective than over-the-counter remedies? And by the way, we should mention or remind people that our pharmaceutical industry had its roots, no pun intended, in the herbal medicine or botanical medicine industry. That's how, you know, and even today, about 20% of our drugs are derived from plant compounds. And so that's where it all started. And that's where most of the world, if you look at the population as a whole on this planet, they still use herbal medicine as their primary modality for treating and preventing illnesses.
Well, there are a number of things you can do to help, certainly in the prevention of colds and flus, as well as in the treatment of it in the alternative field or holistic field. Certainly, there are a number of lifestyle things. There are some dietary things. But as far as supplements go, I think my number one supplement for certainly prevention of colds and flus, but also to use in an acute situation, is a product called Immune Health Basics. This is a beta-glucan that's been derived from baker's yeast that has, I think, like $300 million of research behind it. It's got over a dozen clinical studies on it. It's been shown to decrease the likelihood of upper respiratory tract infection happening in the first place. It's been shown to decrease the severity of the, you know, so if you do get sick, you don't get as sick. It's been shown to shorten the duration, you know, so you're not as sick as long. And it's been shown to, in a sense, improve overall quality of life. So, you know, if you are getting sick, you're going to feel a little bit better. It's not going to last as long. Symptoms aren't going to be as severe. And I really like that product because it's a wonderful long-term tonic for the immune system.
So, right. So you don't have to be sick to take it, and you can just take it prophylactically or preventatively as well as in an active state of infection.
Yeah, absolutely. I hate being sick, and I've confessed this publicly a few times. I'm a terrible sick person, so anything I can do to make sure that I don't get sick in the first place is certainly welcome around this household. And taking the Immune Health Basics, it's just one capsule, one 250-milligram capsule at night before you go to bed, has, you know, clinically studied, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies confirming its benefits for preventing it from happening or, you know, dealing with the symptoms and things in the first place.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
If it gets into acute stage, I'm a big fan of propolis. Is a resin that comes from the beehive. Propolis has been shown to, you know, to kill all sorts of microbes, bacteria, funguses, viruses. It's anti-candida. Even a number of microbes that have been shown to be resistant to drugs, when propolis is used, it's been shown either to kill it directly or work with conjunction with antibiotics or whatever antimicrobial may be being used in this situation.
And that's what the bees use it for, I might add.
Absolutely. I mean, and the bee is supposedly the cleanest place on earth in the natural world. Now, they have, you know, high-tech labs where they spend, you know, $1 million to make it clean. The bees make it clean by basically bringing this resin, creating this resin, bringing it, collecting it, bringing it back to the hive to keep the hive sterile, which, you know, makes sense because think about a beehive. It's this small little space.
Right.
There could be 10,000 bees running around that tight little space. So if one bee gets a sniffle, that, you know, sniffle is going to spread, you know, really quickly through the community. So, you know, the bees seem to know that this is a powerful medicine for them. So I really like that, certainly preventively, but more importantly, you know, in acute situations, acute cases and stuff like that.
Right, so, right. You know, you reminded me, and I pulled it out of my bag. My producer said, "What's that?" I have a bee propolis throat spray. This is by Natural Factors, a Canadian company, but it's available in your nearest natural food store. And I just sprayed some in my mouth. Ooh, that's strong stuff, but it really coats the throat. And yeah, like you said, it has a very protective effect as well as curative effect on any invading viruses or bacteria or bugs that you might encounter. Another thing that getting back to the immune product that you were talking about, is that Wellmune? Is that the trade name of that particular product? The Wellmune?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Immune Health Basics is the company's own line of it. But
right.
The actual material in there is called Wellmune.
Okay.
It's available in the Immune Health Basics line. I think Natural Factors actually has
yes.
in their line as well.
We do, or they do. Yeah, it's called Super Mushroom, and I take it myself. It's the 250 milligrams, the steady dosage per capsule. So, yeah, that's what I take every day.
And I can say, you know, I've been in this industry a really long time, almost since the early days of its inception.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen, you know, a natural remedy like this that has this much research behind it, this much solid research. I mean, placebo, double-blind, you know, controlled studies.
Yeah, that's very rare for a natural compound.
Promising.
Yeah. No, that's
and
good.
I can vouch for it, too. I've been using it, and since I've been using it, I used to be one of those people, if the cold or flu went around every year, I got it once. I was laid up for 10 days. I was a big baby. You know, I've been using it now for 2 years regularly, and, you know, knock on wood, you know, I've been able to stay free of that.
And ladies and gentlemen, when Mark says big baby, we emphasize big because he's a big guy. You're just a giant guy. You're a former swim champion, and but you're just tall and you know, just very you could be
big. You said it, David. It's okay. I got it. I'm big.
Yeah, no, you're big in a good way. I mean, I've always wanted to be a big guy, and you know, I look up to people like you, of course, figuratively as well as literally. But anyway, okay. So let me share a couple of my favorites and see if you concur or agree with these. Taking the alphabet, like from A to Z, or maybe it's actually I'm looking at these names I wrote down in some of my most popular or favorite botanical remedies, and it's kind of like the vowels of the alphabet. But starting with A, Andrographis and Astragalus. Can you, since you're an herbalist as well, tell us what you know about those two herbs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Andrographis is one of those herbs that's been dramatically overlooked in
right.
In our industry and things like that. Some people have actually called it Indian Echinacea.
Yes.
I think that's a misnomer to some degree. But it's been used in Ayurvedic medicine for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. It has actually been studied in conjunction specifically for cold, so it actually has some clinical research on it, shown it reduced the symptoms, you know, the sore throat, the sore muscles, runny nose, you know, headache, all those things that we're all, from anybody's ever had a cold, is familiar with. I think Andrographis is particularly useful when you have an infection that also is coming with a fever, because the energetics of Andrographis, being a very bitter herb, if you've ever tasted it, it's very cooling on the body. So if you are running a fever, it's going to work with the immune system, it's going to work with the symptoms, and it's going to kind of help deal with that you know, that fever as well.
And actually, that's its nickname, is bitter root or bitter herb.
Yep.
It's the most bitter of all the bitter herbs, and which is makes it good for digestion as well in small amounts, you know.
Yeah, you know, we could probably do a whole show just on bitters, but that's an area that I think is completely neglected, and one of the most valuable tools we can have is taking a bitter, good for your digestion, and certainly for a preventative for colds and flus. If you can get your digestive tract operating optimally, it can significantly impact, you know, your risk for getting sick in the first place.
But what I've learned is, and see if you agree with this, and that is that Andrographis is more taken during an active, you know, bout of whatever. If you feel yourself coming down with something, that's really when you pound it down and take it, you know, in a big way, versus taking it preventatively or as a prophylactic.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something you use in acute conditions, in
right.
acute situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A little bit unlike, you know, astragalus, the other herb you talked about, the other A herb you talked about.
Yeah.
This is an herb that also has a long history of use, but in this case in Chinese medicine, known as Huang Qi. This is a qi tonic, so it increases the overall vitality of the body, which makes it a really wonderful long-term tonic. We were just talking or alluding to the importance of our digestive tract as it relates to preventing colds and flus and for health in general. Astragalus actually has been shown to strengthen digestion and improve assimilation, so it's working in that regard. But it's said to build something called Wei Qi, which is your protective qi. And the thing we would most closely relate it to is our immune system and the mucosal membranes in our body, those protective elements of our body that prevent those microbes, whether they be a bacteria or virus, from getting into our body, from taking over, from reproducing and doing those things. So it's a really wonderful long-term tonic, just for overall health and vitality, but also specifically for keeping our immune system operating at an optimal level.
Yeah, I think so too. And the differences between the two, the angiographist, again, taking it in an acute stage or acute case of if you feel yourself coming down with something, and it's very bitter. Whereas astragalus, on the other hand, tastes good. It's actually sweet. I dissolve the capsules in my mouth because I like the taste of it. And then that the astragalus should be taken as a preventative or prophylactically, to prevent any infection from taking place. Now let's move on to ease, and that is echinacea. Now, if I had a choice between andrographis and echinacea, personally, I would take andrographis. But echinacea, you know, is wonderful. I mean, a lot of people get good results. And, you know, it's interesting that up until the 1930s, before modern-day antibiotics were discovered and popularized, echinacea was commonly prescribed by doctors.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in Europe, it's been widely used, which is a little bit ironic since it's an herb that kind of derives from Native American
That's
use
right,
in the first
yeah.
place.
Uh-huh.
But they brought it over, they started investigating, and they really incorporated it into their system. I like echinacea. I don't think we use echinacea quite properly. The way I like to use echinacea, I want it in a liquid form. I think that's the most effective form of it, you know, so it's extracted and it's in that form that's going to be really bioavailable. And I like people to megadose on it. So if you feel yourself starting to get sick that first 1, 2, or 3 days, take a bottle and spread it out, 1 ounce bottle, and take that spread out over the day, really to kind of kick in your immune system.
All right.
My experience with it is that if echinacea hasn't really helped you in that first day or two at high doses, it's not going to do a lot, in that acute phase once the disease kind of grabs hold of the body.
Mm-hmm.
But an area that echinacea, I think, is overlooked on it, it's a wonderful cleansing herb. It's an alternative herb. We sometimes call them blood cleansers. So
right.
You could also use it when there's swollen, if you have swollen lymph nodes in your throat, mm-hmm. in your underarm, in your groin is another common area where, they can tend to swell and things. So if you notice swelling in your lymph system, echinacea is a really good herb. And I'll actually add another one to it. Since you skipped from A to E, there's an herb called Baptisia,
a
bee herb,
right?
Which is really good for, again, that lymphatic system, and particularly good for infections of the eye, ear, nose, and throat area, sometimes called wild indigo.
Yes, right.
But it goes really well with echinacea. The combo of them is a very powerful healing combo.
All right, Dr. Kaler, we need to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll have more information on using natural botanical medicine for treating and preventing colds and flu. Also, since you mentioned some of the symptoms that people might have, such as swollen lymph nodes, of course, see your doctor first before you encounter or do anything on your own. Okay, back after this as we continue here on The Healthiest, 2 hours on radio.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
That makes you you. Where did you get that confidence that lets you look like you do? Oh, what a look. Yes, you're looking good. You take care of your teeth just like you should. Where did you get that smile? The
belongs to you. Nothing looks so right than a smile that's so bright. Tell me, where did you get that smile? You can smile so beautifully. Beautiful smiles are a specialty. Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nagata.
Welcome back to The Cure for the Common Radio Show once again. More information equals less medication here on your health information station. A reminder, our show does rebroadcast tonight from 9 to 11 p.m. for Saturday Night Healthy right here on AM 690 and FM 94.3, The Answer. Continuing our conversation with Dr. Mark Kaler on some of the more popular cold and flu remedies in the botanical kingdom and natural arena. Before the break, Dr. Kaler, we talked about Andrographis, astragalus, and echinacea. Let's talk about elderberry. That's also an antiviral. I remember when that research first came out from Israel back in the, it was the 80s, no, 90s, I believe, on being effective for reducing symptoms of cold and especially flu and fevers. Tell us some of the information that you've gathered on that.
Yeah, elderberry is pretty well researched since you talked about the initial studies that came out of Israel. Other places have looked at it. It seems to be particularly effective, again, in acute situations. Its primary benefit, at least from what I've seen of the research, seems to be in shortening the duration of upper respiratory tract infections. The one caveat, and this is kind of based on research, not necessarily on the science, because the studies yet, because they haven't gone into that kind of detail. In a very severe flu, and I'm talking about when it becomes life-threatening, when it's a very dangerous flu, obviously you got to be seeking medical care with your healthcare practitioner.
Yes.
But there's something called a cytokine storm that goes on, which basically causes the body shut down. I would not use elderberry in that situation just because elderberry stimulates cytokine production. So you wouldn't want to do it, in a flu that's really manifesting very strongly and things like that.
Yeah,
so
good
certainly
point.
In the early stages, by all means, take it. And as long as it doesn't get real bad, I think you can use it quite safely, for the duration of the cold and flu. But I would not use it in a really bad, very feverish, high fevered flu infection.
Okay, great. Okay, we need to move on. We only have a few minutes left. Garlic. Now, I take the kaolic, odorless garlic, the world's most researched garlic. What's your experience with garlic over the decades that you've?
I love cooking with it, but garlic is one of the most potent antimicrobials and things we have available, killing off again viruses, bacteria, yeast, molds. You name it, garlic has a number of compounds, and there's no likelihood of any resistance developing to garlic because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often, I think, overlooked that garlic has actually been shown to boost our body's immune responses as well. So, so it works with the immune system as well as attacking things. And then there's all sorts of other benefits, which I'm sure you've done a number of shows on, cardiovascular health and
other things.
But garlic is a no-brainer for me. Eat it. Take it as a supplement. I like the kaolic as well. I really like their liquid kaolic.
Yes, yes.
I actually use that in my salad dressings.
I just squirt
it into the salad dressing.
I'll have to try that.
Eat it.
Huh,
so,
interesting. Yeah,
and
then
a way to get that in there.
Yeah, and garlic is often nicknamed poor man's penicillin. And before again modern day antibiotics, it's been used for centuries for various illnesses, including the plague of Europe, and it was reputed to be curative or preventative and preventing deaths and that, historically.
It's interesting that name, poor man's penicillin. Propolis is actually called Russian penicillin because they used it very similarly to that.
Oh, yes. Right, that's right. Yeah. Okay, and then getting to the other vowels, the O's, let's skip a few. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Natural Factors, lung, bronchial, and sinus formula. That's the under L, and that's a combination of N-acetylcysteine, which a lot of pharmacists and doctors recommend for sinusitis and as well as bronchitis, NAC, the N-acetylcysteine, an amino acid, very powerful for the respiratory tract in an acute case of infection. And that's available over the counter, by the way, the lung, bronchial, and sinus formula, natural factors available at your nearest natural food store.
Just want to make sure you take that on a protein-empty stomach, because when you take aminos, if you take it with protein, it binds with the other proteins, and you lose a lot of the benefits.
That's a good point. Yeah, thank you for
any sort of respiratory conditions, NAC is probably called for, as well as a great detoxifier.
Yes, it is for the liver, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, olive leaf and oregano oil, those are two O's that I always have packed in my suitcase and in my kitchen cupboard. Give us your take on or your knowledge on olive leaf as far as an antiviral, as well as oregano oil, which is super powerful and antifungal, antibacterial, and anti-everything.
Olive leaf is another one. It's a strong bitter flavor, so anybody who's ever tasted it, even if you take it in tablet form, that olive leaf has a quite pronounced flavor and things to it. It's also a wonderful kind of antimicrobial. It's going to kill off a lot of things. There's a growing body of research with it in that regard as well. So, yeah, I think it's certainly another good one to use if you're looking for that antimicrobial activity and things.
Mm-hmm.
On oregano, you and I might actually go to battle a little bit on this. I'm not the fan of oregano that a lot of people are.
Okay.
My concern with oregano, certainly if you take it long term, is it's going to disturb and upset the natural microbiome.
That's right.
Bacteria.
Yeah, I only take it in an acute stage of illness.
In my mind, oregano is most effective when it can come in contact with whatever it is you're trying to fight. So if it's an infection that you got that's deeper into your body, I'm just not a big fan of using it. I don't know that those compounds necessarily get to where they need to get to in the body.
Okay.
But if you can get to it topically with oregano, then yeah, it certainly can do that.
Okay. Mark, we've run out of time. Is there a website where people can go to for some of the research that you do and some of the things that you're doing actively in the field of health?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm starting a nonprofit. My webpage is radianthealthproject.com, and it's all really built around the idea about maximizing our health and vitality, preventing diseases, but really about being the best you can possibly be and doing that from a natural and holistic manner.
All right, great. Well, thanks so much for being with us, and don't make yourself scarce. We want to have you on later this year at least.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
All right, there goes Dr. Mark Kaler, radianthealthproject.com. And here we go for the top of the hour Fox News, but we'll be back for hour number two with Bryant Johnson, the author of the new RBG workout. He is just as Ruth Bader Ginsburg's personal fitness trainer, and he'll tell you how to stay fit all year if that's what you'd like to do. That's how he's done it with Mrs. Ginsburg. Miss Ginsburg, for the last 20 years, and she's almost 85 years old. So we'll learn a thing or two about fitness when we return from this brief break for the top of the hour Fox News. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Don't go anywhere. If you want to stay healthy, back for hour number two right after this.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.